Everybody, really good to see you, especially on this Memorial Day weekend as we celebrate. And what a blessing that video was to just help us remember why we celebrate this weekend. Amen. It's not just about the beginning of summer. It's not just about having a big cookout. It's about men and women who gave their lives for this country and for the freedoms that we enjoy. So let's remember that in the midst of all that we do this weekend. Thank you for coming to worship today. And if you're a guest today, God bless you. And trust this won't be the last time to spend time with us. Maybe you've been in an over
40 crowd.
I'll say over 40 crowd. Maybe you've been with an over 40 group of people where maybe you're not there yet. And you're standing around and everybody's talking and all of a sudden somebody says, "I remember when," and one of two things happens. If you're under 40, those words are uttered, "I remember when," and your eyes glaze over. It's like, what? They're going to talk about walking to school in the snow, 6 foot deep, uphill both ways. I know what they're going to talk about. That might happen, your eyes glaze over. Or, if you're under 30, you step back from the crowd with your iPhone in hand and you take a picture and say, "These people are nuts," and you post it on all your social media accounts. One of those two things happens. So, but that's a big deal, especially on Memorial Day weekend that we remember. But man, how many times are we in a crowd of people where people say those words, "I remember when," or "I remember this," or "I remember that"? So do you remember, really? How many under 30 people do we have here today? Under 30. Come on. Oh, excellent, because I'm going to pick on every one of you, okay? So some of you might remember. Let's see here. Let's see if I can get this to go. You might remember this. How many of you know what this is? No, really? By the way, just so y'all know, those of you that are under 30, that's a pencil sharpener. It's not one you plug in. You actually have to turn that little crank thing. Yeah, so how about this one? Now I know that's really for those, Cindy, you didn't have a clue what that was, did you? No idea. So many people don't know that's a real telephone. We used to have those. It used to be on party lines where you'd pick it up and everybody else would be yakking and you couldn't get anyway, so that's a telephone, y'all, just so you didn't, in case you, I want you to remember that this morning. So here's another one. How many of you remember those old TV sets? Yeah, that was before the days of these. Videotapes. Now what's a VCR? Anybody know what a VCR is? Yeah, okay. So, then the Walkman. Oh my goodness. You remember when the Walkman? Don't talk. Listen, for those of you that are under 30, the Nyman kids are here today. Anybody, do you know what that is? No clue. Cindy, do you know what that is? Oh, they told you this morning? They already told you? But you didn't know before that, right? How many of you know what that is? It's a dimmer switch. Before we had the switches on the, on the turn signals. Yeah, that's what you had to do. Okay, so this is a pretty cool one. I like that one. Yeah, that's really good. And then, what about this? I gotta back up. Listen, look at this. This is great. How many of you remember putting glue in your hand and peeling it off? Our kids, they have iPhones. They have no idea. They don't even know what Elmer's glue is. It's so crazy. We laugh at all that stuff and yet it does take us back to yesteryear, doesn't it? For many of us to think about. We remember, we get back and today is Memorial Day. And it's a day that it's a weekend that's about remembering. Remembering the thousands of young men and women who served this country in some branch of service and gave their lives. So that you and I can enjoy freedom. And what a blessing it is to celebrate Memorial Day. And then Today is also a day that we remember. Today is really a day about remembering. It's about ensuring that we, as God's people, people after the heart of God, remember His amazing faithfulness to each one of us. He's a faithful God in the lives of people who are in love with Him and in a relationship with Him and seek His heart on a daily basis. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for today, for the chance to remember when, for the chance to just be a part of something that's way bigger than ourselves. God, I thank you for, in just a moment, we're gonna crack open the Word. We're gonna listen to your Word. We're gonna read about what your Word says. And I pray, God, you would move right into our hearts, pierce us to the very depths, so that we might know your grace and mercy more than we ever have before, as we remember. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to grab your bulletin or grab your Bible or your smartphone or whatever you want to use this morning. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture from Joshua chapter 4. You also, if you have a pen or pencil, you might want to grab that and just write some things down as well. But anyway, I want you to, before we get to the story that is in your bulletin from Joshua 4, let me kind of set this up a little bit. I want to set up what's going on prior to this moment that we're going to read about in just a second. God's people had been held in bondage. They had been held in captivity for years and years and years in Egypt. The Pharaoh was lording it over them and was using them as slave labor, and he had them in captivity, and it was a crazy, crazy, crazy situation. And along the way, Moses negotiates for the freedom of God's people, to lead them out of bondage, to lead them out of captivity. And he negotiates with Pharaoh and says, you know, God says, let my people go. And so there was a point in time that Pharaoh said, yeah, okay, we'll let God's people go. And then he thinks about it for a few minutes and he reneges on his decision. He's not going to let the people of God go. And so God sends 10 plagues, each one increasingly worse, to get the attention of Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh would indeed let the people of God go. And finally they get to number 10 and Pharaoh's like, okay, God, I've had it. They can go. I'm going to let them leave. And Moses leads the people on the journey toward the promised land. And then Pharaoh relents. Pharaoh says, that can't happen. If I let all of God's people go and I let them all take, I won't have any more slave labor. I can't let those people go and just let them go and do whatever they want to do. I need them to do what I need to have happen in our country. Well, so he sends his armies after the children of Israel. And they get to the Red Sea, and the people of God are freaking out because they can see the dust from Pharaoh's armies coming. And there's in front of them is the Red Sea, and Moses does what Moses does. God does what God does, and does a supernatural work, a miracle. The waters of the Red Sea part. The children of God cross over the Red Sea on dry land, by the way, on dry land. Let me make sure I say that. On dry land, they cross over, and Pharaoh's army said, hey, if they can do it, we can do it. And they start in, and what happens? Right in the middle, the water comes back, and all of Pharaoh's army do the, as we sang at camp many, many times, the dead man's float. Right? So, they're God's people are across the Red Sea, they're in Sinai, and they begin to make that journey toward the promised land. But you know what happened in the midst of all that? They started to whine. They started to complain. They said, Moses, what are you doing? You got us out here in the middle of nowhere. Why, you know, just, come on. Why are we here? We don't have any food. We don't have anything to drink. You know, let's just go back to Egypt. And that starts them on this 40-year journey through the desert to get to the promised land. Well, Moses, because of his own shortcomings and sin, is denied entry to the promised land. He can see it. He can go to the brink and look over, but he's not allowed to go in. Joshua, who was a leader under Moses, is appointed to the one to take them. He's going to be the one to take them to the other side. One slight problem. Now it's not the Red Sea. Now it's the Jordan River. Now there's a river in their way. Now what are they going to do? Now what happens? How do we get from here to there? How are we going to cross this river? You know, we're not talking about 10 or 15 or 20 people. We're not talking about 100 people. We're talking about millions of people and animals and possessions. How is this going to happen? Once again, God intervenes. Once again, God does a miracle and the waters are separated. The Ark of the Covenant goes in and the land, it dries up. They all cross on, once again, on dry land. God does what God does best. It's another miracle. Listen, for those that want to think that this was just some, so what? They didn't cross over on mud. They didn't cross through the river bottom on mud. They didn't cross through a shallow little stream where it wasn't going to bother them anymore. They didn't cross through a little trickle. The Bible says that they crossed on dry land. A miracle of God takes place so that he can deliver his people into the promised land. Now, let's pick up the story in Joshua chapter 4. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now, choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan." Again, it's dry land, stones in the bottom. They go back in and they pick up stones, right? "Carry them out and pile them up at a place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men that he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord, your God. Each of you pick up one stone and carry that on your shoulder." 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, from verse 6 on is where I really want us to lock in on this morning. I want you to see what God is up to here. See what happens. Verse 6 says, "We will use these stones to build" what? "A memorial." Something that people can see, something that people can touch, something that people will know that God has been in this place. We're going to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, "What do these stones mean?" And then you can tell them, "They remind us. They help us remember. They help us look backwards so that we can see God going into the future ahead of us. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night. They constructed a memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And they are still there to this day. I don't know if that's, you know, that was thousands of years ago. Are they still there? My guess is yes. God did it. So if God did it, I don't think that God did it so it could go away. They're still there to this day. So let me offer you just a couple thoughts. Listen, remembering. That's what this weekend is all about. Remembering. Remember when. Remembering what God has done helps us to face the future with great confidence. You hear me, church? I mean, remembering what God has done in our past helps us to look at the future and face the future with great confidence. Listen to this. If you miss everything else this morning, I mean, if you want to go off into a snooze in a few minutes, that's cool. But listen, get what I'm about to tell you. If you have a pencil, write this down somewhere. Write it in your Bible. Write it on your bulletin so you can transfer it to your Bible. Write it in the margins on this passage. I don't care where you write it, but write this down somewhere. God is a faithful God. No matter what else you hear today, hear that. God is a faithful God. Now, let's talk about that for just a second. Let's know what the psalmist says. Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing of Him. Sing His praises. Tell all of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Now listen to this. Remember. Remember. The wonders that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. Remember, God is faithful. God is faithful. That's why the stories that were important to the people of Israel. That's why all these stories and all this stuff was so, that's why God wanted Joshua to put those stones in place, because those stories of the past are important to everyone remembering. When the children would come by, they look, oh, these stones, why are these stones here? Oh, let me tell you the story. Let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you how God showed up. How many of you have ever been to Gettysburg? Here in our country, you know, I mean, if you go to Gettysburg, man, there's memorials everywhere. There's stuff that you look at and you say, oh my goodness. But it helps us to remember what is in our past so that we don't repeat the same stuff again. Amen. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what these memorials are. That's why spiritual markers and understanding spiritual markers in our lives is so important. And I'm going to talk about that more in a moment. But moments and events in our lives, listen, moments and events in our lives are never, never, never wasted opportunities. Does that make sense? Never wasted opportunities. They are always times and places that allow us to remember the hand of God at work in us. God is a faithful God. He's always there. He's all powerful. He shows up in ways that we don't expect, that we don't think might happen, but He shows up with His power, with His grace, with His mercy. He always knows more about us than we know about ourselves. So we need to take just a few minutes and let's think about this. What would be some of those spiritual markers? What are some of those things that God has done for you and for me and for millions of others who are in a relationship with Him? Psalm 139 says that God has made each one of us unique. God created us. God formed us from the very beginning. He formed us to be us. We're not like anybody else. I don't care. Tom, I don't care if you have a twin. You're not like him. You are created uniquely to be Tom. He's created uniquely to be Tim. And that's the same for every one of us. We are created to be ourselves. God has created us unique with unique gifts and graces and talents to be used for His glory. We are unique creations of God. Listen, John 3 says that He loved us for no reason. He didn't have to love us. And listen, there's nothing in us that makes Him love us. He just loves us. I love that about God. I think that's the coolest thing ever. That God loves us in spite of ourselves. God loves us. Well, another one of those spiritual, but God saves us. And He pulls us out of captivity. and gives us life here and now. Not only that, Luke 11 says that even when we die, we live. That's what God has done for each one of us. God has done that. He is our creator. He is the one who is our savior. He is the one who is the one who sets us free from captivity. But listen to this. He is our sustainer. Maybe that's the most important thing that we need to hear today. That God is he is a faithful God who is our sustainer for every day that we live and breathe. He's our sustainer. He's the one who helps us get from today to tomorrow, to the next day, to the next day, to next month, to next year. He is the one. He's our sustainer. He's the one who hangs on to us. And he's the one who makes a way when there seems to be no way. Do you know who Chuck Swindoll, you've heard that name, Chuck Swindoll? He's an author, he's a pastor. He said this about himself, about his own life. He said, sometimes I feel like I'm in the Indy 500 and I'm driving an old jalopy. You know that life is going so fast that he can't get on the same page. You ever felt like that? Listen, if you haven't, I'm just going to tell you, I have. I have been in that place where it seems like life is just whoosh, passing by me. And I'm like looking around like, what is going on here? How can this be happening? How can I be going through all of this stuff? Listen, even when all of that is going on, God promises to lift us out of the pits of despair. God promises to lift us out of the miry clay and set on our feet on a rock to stay. That's in Psalm 42 if you want to write that down somewhere. He promises to lift us out of miry clay and put our feet on a rock to stay. Let me give you three passages of scripture that I think will help us to kind of get it when it comes to understanding how God sustains us in our daily life. Listen to this. This is from Lamentations chapter 3. It says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Sounds like a song. Somebody should write a song about that. Well, maybe they did, called "Great is Thy Faithfulness." His compassions, they fail not. Listen, this is what it says at the very end of that verse. They are new every morning. New every morning. Have you ever been to that place in your life where you feel like the wind has just gone out of your sails? Where you're like, oh my gosh, can I make it another day? Can I get past where I am in this mess in my life? Can I do this? Can I get to tomorrow? I have. It's no fun being there. I didn't like being there. But it happens. And if you follow Jesus long enough, it's going to happen. But listen, did you hear it? The mercies and compassion of God is fresh and it is new every morning. What do you say, church? Amen. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm not done. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Listen to this. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Well, let me make sure I read that right. "And we know that all things work together." Did I just say all things? I did, right? All things. So that means everything that happens in our life as a child of God, as a person who's in love with Jesus, all things work together for good, even the tough things. Even the not so good things, even the mistakes, even the blunders, even the trips, and even the falls. All things, is that right? All things, Wow. That means that we can, in humility and love, give all of our broken pieces, and we can trust God with the broken pieces. We can trust God with the messes that we've made. We can trust God in His mercy and His grace that is new every morning. We can trust Him that somehow, some way, He takes all of those things and works it for His glory in the life of His children. Is that what I'm understanding? Well, listen, I'm not a Rhodes Scholar. I didn't go to England, to that big college, and I didn't go to Oxford and study. But listen, when I went to school, I'm pretty sure that all means all. All means all. So all things, good, bad, ugly, work for good. Every moment, every event, every situation works for good. What that saying is that as we remember, we look back, there's a little spot there that was not such a good thing, but still we can look back and say, okay, somehow God took that mess and turned it around and helped me to see that I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to that situation. I want to move forward for His glory. All things work for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Praise be to God, church. Oh, there's one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to this. Just this short little phrase that says, "My grace is sufficient for you." My grace is sufficient for you. You know, there's a hymn that we sing. And I thought we could sing it this morning. I know I thought better of that. And I thought, well, I'm just going to read the words. You'll recognize these words. Listen, it says, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Listen, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far." And listen, whoa, I'm not done yet. Keep amening though. Listen, "and grace will lead me home." Praise be to God. Grace will lead me home.
Amen.
Wow. Can I tell you something, church? Man, I need to tell you this. Listen, Satan is a liar. I want you to hear that, church. Hear what I'm saying. Satan is a liar, and not only is he a liar, he is a father of lies. Okay? Now listen, I need to tell you that because he is going to do whatever he can do to cast a fog into your life and my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? He's going to show up in some of the craziest spots and craziest ways and create confusion because he's a liar. He's going to say, well, some things are this, some things are that, and this is good and it's not good. And he wants all that fog and all that confusion to cause us to forget what God has done. And listen, it is the truth that we find in God's holy word. God's holy and eternal word that can and will sustain us, keep us going in those times of pain, in those times of hurt, in those times of lack of understanding, in those times of confusion, in those times of disappointment, in those times of heartbreak. It is God's word. That's why, church, it is so important. And I keep harping on this, and you keep saying, "Pastor Mike, can you keep..." I mean, that's all you talk about. Well, that's why it's so important, is why I talk about it. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if you take 1 minute a day, 3 minutes a day, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours. Take some time every day to get into the book. Why? Because this is God's roadmap. This is God's eternal truth. And when Satan lies to us, we say, wait a minute. Devil, you're lying to me because I know what God's word says. I just read it. Okay, so don't let the devil lie. Okay, listen, here's what I want to do. I'm going to challenge you to do this. Because about 2 months ago, I'm part of this pastor's group here in Louisville, and we hang out once a month, and these guys one day were sitting around the table just talking about stuff, talking about life, and one of them says, you know what we ought to do? He said, what we ought to do is we ought to write down and then share with each other all of those big spiritual markers in our lives. And just, we ought to write them down on paper so that we can remember them. And I'm like, what? And then I thought back to a couple of Bible studies that I'd done. Experiencing God is one of them. I did another Bible study that asked me to do something similar. To look back on my life and find those spiritual markers and write them down. Those things that go in the memorial, the big rocks. Like, for me, listen, I can remember like it was yesterday. I could tell you every small detail about the day I gave my heart to Jesus. I could tell you the whole story. I mean, it was the most powerful moment in my life. I can tell you where I was, what I was doing, who I was with, what the speaker was talking about, why the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And that those are important things to write down and remember so that I can face tomorrow. I can tell you the moment of my baptism. I could tell you that the water was freezing. It was an old farm pond. It was in mid-April in northwest Ohio. I thought we were going to have to chip ice off the farm pond. Man, it was cold. I remember that, though. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember God calling me to ministry. And I'm like, God, whoa, time out. That is not what I had in mind. That is not where I was going with my life. That is not what my dream is. But I distinctly remember Him speaking through other people into my life. And that call to ministry being so real. And here I am today. Almost at the other end of that journey. And it's crazy. But along the way I can tell you of moments that God has shown up. That are big stones in my memory bank. And so here's the challenge. Sometime this week, this coming week, that means you've got 7 days, 7 nights, hopefully not sleepless nights, 7 days to think about the spiritual markers in your life. And I'm going to challenge you to write them down. Mine's 4 pages. And when I started sharing those with the guys, they're like, okay, you ready to quit now? Can you stop now? 4 pages. And I could probably think of a lot more. But that's the challenge. In the next 7 days, I would love to hear some of your stories. I would love to see some of what you've written down. And listen, it's going to be special to you because it's things that you remember about your relationship with God and how God showed up and is a faithful God in your life. So that's the challenge. 7 days. You can do it. We can all do it. Make it a priority. Do that. Sometime in the next several days and just let God speak to your heart and remember He's a faithful God. Would you pray with me? God, I'm so thankful that You are a faithful God. That You sustain us. You created us. You've brought us to this place in our lives. But you want us to set up those spiritual memorials. Things that we can remember so that we can look back and then look ahead. Thank you for loving us and blessing our lives and speaking to us through your word. In Jesus' name.